Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right.
Okay.
Checking in at
number five.
Good place to start.
The Chicago City Council voted against delaying the start of illegal marijuana sales in the city. City Council voted 29-19 against the ordinance. Mayor Lori Lightfoot argued the delay would have unintended consequences. The council's Black Caucus had backed had backed this extension, which passed committee. The first time a sitting mayor has lost a committee vote in close to 40 years. Such, I mean, Mayor Daley did, I think, a couple of times just as a... yeah, not exactly.
For so another good first reason. For the administration. Yes. Congratulations.
Yes, they that's what happened. Now, what would have happened here is marijuana dispensaries would have been pushed back to their start date from January 1st to July 1st, essentially.
Okay.
And because they want more African Americans, Latinos, and women involved in the process.
Okay.
He said,
"Look within your heart and understand what's going on in the Black community. And if you truly want to make a difference, for somebody who has all resources in your ward, somebody who has all the jobs in their ward, somebody who has everything going for you in their ward, and then you look at our community and we have the least of these. So I want to encourage you all today, see what's going on in this body. See the fact that people don't want us to have resources in our community."
All right. But Mayor Lightfoot had none of it, right? Do we have the natural sound from the top there? Of Mayor Lightfoot. All right. Here's what it sounded like in the city council today.
"The motion is defeated, 19-29. Alderman Thompson on the motion for reconsideration.
Madam President, motion to reconsider that vote.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
The noes have it."
There was the one guy with an emphatic no. No.
That's Alderman Thompson. That's Patrick Thompson. That's Mayor Daley's grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's one of those. Yeah, we're motion to consider. So okay. Let's listen to a little bit more of this. Here's Alderman David Moore, his thoughts on what we saw.
"When I'm hearing stuff about the governor calling people, talking about you got capital budget, I'll stop this. I wish he would. I wish you would. I don't live by the hope factor. I wish you would. And anybody else that's going to stop development on the south or west sides because the Black Caucus stay together to fight for their community, I wish you would. Because you had to come to the Black community to get elected. You had to come to those people to get elected."
And here's Alderman Leslie Hairston.
"The only people that benefit from this deal are the white people. Once again, we get thrown in the jails and they get thrown in the banks. We got a whole city hall that could help put this deal together. It does not have to be done in all 6 months. It could be done before that if there is the will."
The chair recognizes.
"So I'm not done, sir. Madam Chair.
Pardon me. Pardon me, madam.
Some of us have been told about, we're going to have a lawsuit against the city. Well, we hadn't been worried about these lawsuits and not having the same care or concern when we've got our white cops shooting our Black kids in the back. We didn't have that same concern. But we worry about legal fees. Since 2004, we have paid out over $1 billion for police misconduct and legal fees, which is more than what the budget deficit was this year. Yet we worry about legal fees when it comes to providing equity for Black people. Some people are saying now that we estimate just by holding this up for a little bit that it would cost $5 million. Well, that's the same amount we gave to the Laquan McDonald family."
All right. That's Leslie Hairston. The longest cut in the history of the top five at five, I would like to point out. All right. You know, this debate, I'm sorry. These are crocodile tears. As a Chicagoan my whole life and covering this town for three decades, I know what was going to happen there. They all know what was going to happen there. They wanted to extend this so they could get some other people involved, but the people that they were eventually going to get involved were going to be these corporate interests that were encouraging these aldermen to delay this vote because the corporate interests have a bunch of suburban dispensaries, which would get a six-month jump on Chicago by doing
that.
So, and then the people who would get who would end up with the minority contracts, I would venture to guess are going to be the same people who end up with all the minority contracts, who not necessarily representing the people that they say they want to represent, which are these people who are living in the neighborhoods who don't have access to business. Those are the people who never get those contracts. Mm-hmm. So it's all Chicago hockey. Checking in at
number four.
The trend of what some have labeled progressive prosecution is happening throughout the nation, including here in Cook County. During her first campaign, Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox promised reform. In an interview with ABC, really? You're going to make me? This is what this is going to be?
I can't wait for number three, two, and one.
Ooh. I'm in a bar at the United Center, and you want to get me all agitated about Kim Fox?
Yeah.
I hear you, Ro.
Oh my God. I feel like number five and four fell off of Bill Cameron's desk 20 years ago. I'm a little confused.
Hold on. Let me just finish this. In an interview with ABC7, Kim Fox touted her office's progressive success as she seeks a second term, explaining why she believes that her approach is right.
Our mandate is always about public safety. In a city like Chicago, where we have a gun violence epidemic that we have to tide, spending our time chasing offenses that aren't going to have an impact on that isn't keeping our community safe. We put our lawyers in some of our most violent police districts to help work on gun crimes from the ground up. We never would have been able to have the resources to do that if we had not reallocated resources from traffic offenses and retail theft.
Let me tell you why she's wrong. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me tell you why she's wrong. Because the reality is, yes, there is a gun violence problem in Chicago. It is a very violent city. It's 80% of the action of gun violence happens on 8% of the blocks. There is allocation in those districts for that. If the smaller crimes don't get prosecuted, they will burgeon. And those are quality of life crimes that Chicagoans have to put up with, whether it's theft, robbery, intimidation, those kinds of things that happen in the city that make it harder. Because if they say, well, you know, all right, we arrested a guy who's on the street with crack, or a guy just had a gun but wasn't using it, right, and we pop him back out on the street, that is not making the streets safer.
That answer was so good, I've decided to award you a recreational marijuana license.
Thank you, Rich.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it. Checking in at number...
number three.
Thanks, Orion. Matt Nagy addressed the media at House Hall today. Most of the questions were about Mitch Trubisky's mental state.
Ooh.
Wow.
Do you think he's scarred at all by this experience?
I don't. No, I don't. I think that he learns through this that we all want the same thing. We all do. We all want to win, and I think that's what is so important in this thing that we don't lose sight of, is that it's just, how do we do it? How do we get to it? And so we're all learning through experiences, and this is our story, our experience this year. How do you use that, like I've always done and we've always talked about as players and coaches? How do you use your prior experiences to help you in the future? That's our number one goal right now, and that's where we're at.
Okay, thank you.
Not crazy. Who said the word crazy?
Well, you know what? That reminded me of a parent-teacher conference.
Oh my gosh.
Is what that sounded like.
So
do you think little Mitch is scarred by what just happened?
Can you imagine if someone had asked that?
I want to ask you about this drawing.
Do you think Steve Fuller is emotionally scarred? Here's a scar. I took an iron and I put it on the side of his head when he threw an interception. There's a scar.
That's going to his bedroom right after dinner and not talking to anybody?
Is he fragile? Does he need a participation trophy? Maybe he can get Mahomes to sign a jersey for him.
I hate it here.
You're not my coach. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Oh, my God. This town is such a mess.
That's Mitch doing.
All right. So tonight, a couple of classic sitcoms are coming back to TV. ABC presents live versions of All in the Family and Good Times. We're all 1972 again. That's what we're going right back to that. And Andre Brower stars as James Evans in this Good Times episode. He says that the stories are just as relevant now as they were back then.
A little bit of the reason why we were so excited back in the 70s when these shows came on is because they broke the mold from typical sitcoms, you know, and part of Norman Lear's genius is to make these stories real, you know. So they have the generational strife, they have the racial strife, they have the societal complications and such, and those things haven't changed, and they still ring true for us today.
Okay. Excellent. I have no interest in that.
The huge numbers the first time they did it on ABC. Huge, huge ratings.
For this, they've done this one before?
Yeah, with that cast. Well, they do the exact episode, but with a new cast.
Are they going to do the one where JJ gets shot?
I don't know. Or the one
that
where
was the most
Archie's best
one.
Friend turns out to be gay, the big burly guy that says, you know, Archie, I've never been married. Archie's like, what? What? Jeez.
Eat it here, huh? All right. Yeah. All right, so now we have an issue with this.
Number one.
We've had a bit of a technical snafu here today.
There's a lot going on.
It's been a four-hour technical difficulty. Classic.
I would just like to share a few things that have happened since we've been here.
Oh, not all of them, please.
We've had a few technicals. Yeah. We've had some systems. We had a couple of pieces of our equipment fail. And we've been making up the top five at five. As you've heard, it's been a bit of a mess. We've been making it up off of our great technical producer, Brian Altimer's phone, is how we've been playing the cuts. And we don't have the cut for number one.
Well,
so we're going to reenact it.
Okay.
Ooh, lovely.
Right? It's going to be the Rokan Mighty Art Players reenacting.
Would you like me to do this first part? Ba ba da dum ba da dum.
That's enough. Can I be Darth Vader in this one?
Jimmy Kimmel celebrated the L.A. premiere of Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, which Richard Roper gives 3 stars to. Last night, with a Star Wars-themed edition of his ABC Late Night Show, Jimmy Kimmel Live to the film, noting that the films were actually made for kids. Kimmel opened the show with a pre-taped segment featuring Rise of Skywalker director J.J. Abrams and the cast of the movie answering kids' Star Wars questions. Here was a question for Billy Dee Williams. If you had to ask Billy Dee Williams, what would be the question?
Lauren, you could talk like a kid. Say something.
I think I heard one of these questions, and one of the questions, the one I can remember to Ray was, can you really do a backflip in real life, or are you a liar?
I hope she answered yes and yes.
No, she said, I'm a liar.
That's pretty good.
Wow.
All right.
I'd like to know if Billy Dee Williams really did like malt liquor.
Yeah. I think he was a Colt 45
Colt
guy,
45
right?
Malt liquor. That was just it. Yeah. I'm Billy Dee.
That would have been a good one.
Yeah.
The other question was, do droids go to the bathroom, or do they pee in their pants?
Ah, that's a good one, too.
They don't have pants, right.
I don't think they have a
maybe that's why R2-D2 was always making those little noises. You know, some of them meant number one, and some meant number R2-D2. R2 just went D2. That meant some inside jokes Lucas was inserting back in the 70s. We don't know. You weren't there. I will say it was kind of fun for the Star Wars premiere in Los Angeles for the blue carpet they had. Then they had like an artificial star-filled sky built above it because, of course, no one in Los Angeles has actually seen the actual sky centuries of 1977 Star Wars.
Yeah.
So the setting was a star-filled sky. Now, if you had the premiere in, for example, North Dakota,
be fine.
You could just look up.
Yeah, Fargo. All right.
There, that was better.
Can we close this thing up now? Because we've really had a difficult day here. I've even begun to deal with the biggest problem that we have. I think we'll have to explain what happened with Lauren coming up
tomorrow.
After the. You mean once we get away from the United Center and the Blackhawks organization before we
even
explain what happened?
Ideas either, so.
All right. Okay. Good idea.
That'd be a bad idea.
Okay. Let's just say this. Here's what we're going to say.
The top five at five.